The first Sunday in Lent is also called Temptation of the Lord Sunday because we remember that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and that he was there for 40 days. That's why we have 40 days of Lent. And the good news for us is that this time was for us. Jesus was learning from God what it meant to be fully human. He had to experience the same things that we experience, so we could identify with him and he could identify with us. And because he became like us, we can be like him. So Lent is a time for us to reflect on those areas in which we are tempted and to focus on how we might increase our resistance to temptation. Our psalm reading this morning, Psalm 25, helps us with that. The word trials and temptations in both Greek and Hebrew is one word. So one word means trials, one word means temptations. We think of them as being somewhat different because they are, but there's only one word to describe both things. So we have to look at, what's the context? Is this a trial or is it a temptation? Temptation, of course, is enticing one to do evil. And trials are tests or difficulties in life that aren't necessarily meant to entice us to evil, but may lead us to sin depending on how we respond to those trials. But both trials and temptations have the same results. We either sin or we overcome. We turn away from God or we draw closer to God. But God uses both of these in our lives to teach us something about ourselves and about God. We just prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead me not into temptation." Some people say, "Lead me not into the time of trial." But then the next part says, "Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver us from evil." So we know it could be either. It could be both. We want God to protect us. We want to be delivered. So Jesus' own time in the wilderness was a time of learning for Jesus. Jesus was discovering who he was and what he was meant to do. He was reminded of both his divinity and his humanity. The temptations were set up to pit those two parts of himself against each other, but Jesus was a whole person and those parts were not divided in him. Would Jesus use those divine rights and powers to overcome the weaknesses of his humanity? No, Jesus never did that. He never used his divinity in a way that would mar his humanness. Nor did his humanity ever overcome his divinity. In resisting temptation, Jesus showed us that he is the restorer of paradise, that he is the last Adam. He resisted every temptation and resolved to do nothing but the Father's will, living and preaching the kingdom, submitting himself to the control of the Holy Spirit. Often we learn what God wants to teach us through trials and temptations in retrospect. If any of you are familiar with 12-step programs, I mentioned it on Wednesday night as well. We looked at the first couple of things, but step 4 in the 12-step programs is a biggie. It is, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. In Celebrate Recovery, we have key verses for all of those 12 steps. And the key verse for undergoing step 4 is Lamentations 3:40, which says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." Undergoing a searching and fearless moral inventory is a good Lenten exercise, as well as step 4 for anybody in a recovery program, recovering from hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And the key word in step 4 is the word fearless, because it takes a lot of courage to do a searching moral inventory. This step was the step where my colleague and I saw many folks drop out of our recovery program over the 4 years that we ran it. And the main reason that people drop out is because of fear. Much of the fear that they have is based in shame. Shame keeps us from learning the things that God wants to teach us through our pasts. In Psalm 25, David uses the word ashamed 4 times. None of us like to feel shame. David doesn't want to feel shame by his enemies. He doesn't want to bring shame on himself through his own actions, through succumbing to temptation. He doesn't want to give his enemies any reason to gloat over him because of his moral failings or as a leader. So he deals with his shame by crying out to God in prayer. He knows that it is God who will defend his integrity. He knows that he can take refuge in God. J. Clinton McCann Jr., in his book, An Introduction to the Book of Psalms, says, "To take refuge in God is to live in dependence on God alone. God is the only necessity of life." And this approach to life is founded on the fundamental conviction that God is in control. This is the exact same cure for our shame as well. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for our sins, he died for our shame. He removes our shame from us and gives us a new identity that is rooted in him. It's why NCR, when we introduce ourselves, we introduce ourselves first as followers or believers of Jesus Christ before we name our hurt or our habit or our hang-up. For example, I'm Lavera, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ who is overcoming depression and struggling with anxiety. Or I'm Daniel, a follower of Jesus Christ who is recovering from addiction. And that's different from saying, I'm John, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm Susie, I'm angry or resentful. It's different because our true identity is not in the things that we do. It is who we are, and who we are is rooted in Jesus Christ if we believe in him. That's where we get our identity from. And knowing who we are in Jesus Christ gives us courage and allows us to be able to learn from our trials and temptations. And that's why in 12-step programs, this is step number 4, and there's 3 steps that come before it. And the 3rd step is that we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. In CR, of course, we are not afraid to name our higher power as Jesus Christ. If we have not turned our lives and wills over to Jesus Christ, then doing a moral inventory is very fearful. How many of you have a life verse, a verse of scripture that you live by? Anybody have one of those? What's yours, Kimberly? "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you a future and a hope. Plans for good, not for harm." Denise, you have one?
Romans 8,
that nothing separates us from God. Yeah. Who else has one? So my life verse, which I've used for decades, is Romans 12:1. "I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your highest act of worship." We have to submit to God in order to learn from God, just as Jesus had to, in order to learn what he needed to know from his own time of temptation. Jesus died for our shame, and Jesus overcomes our fears. Fear is mentioned twice in Psalm 25 in verses 12 and 14, and in this context, it is referred both times to the fear of the Lord, which is the only legitimate fear and healthy fear for a believer to have. We are reminded that God is a friend to those who fear God, as well as God teaches those who fear God. So if we fear God, then we ought not to have room for any other kind of fear. The New Testament tells us that God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. So we can have courage to face our fears as we reflect on the trials and temptations in our lives. God teaches us through both trials and temptations, And so part of our moral inventory is to look at both of these. In Psalm 25, David recounts his present trials, his physical enemies, his past temptations, the sins of his youth, as well as recognizing the things that are going on right now in his life, and he asks for God's help and protection. David says, "Don't remember the sins of my youth." So he's been doing this inventory of sorts, and he's looking at his life and the things that he's going through, and he realizes that his present sins reminds him of things in his past. So are there things in your past, sins of your youth, that still have a hold on you? You can confess them and receive God's forgiveness and healing. God wants you to let go of that stuff. In 12-step programs, you can't do steps 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 until you do step 4. And once we've done those, we can move on. Step 5, 6, and 7, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another person the exact nature of our wrongs. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these character defects, and we humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Like David, we can ask God to forgive all our sins if we humble ourselves before the Lord. And we can specifically ask God to teach us. Psalm 25 says, "Show me your ways and teach me your paths. To you, Lord, I lift up my soul." The lifting up of a soul is a sign of opening yourself up to God's teaching. It's an invitation to be taught by God. And God does it. God promises to do it, and the promise applies to us today as much as it did to David. He writes, "God instructs sinners in the way." Notice that David did not write, "God instructs the righteous in the way." God instructs sinners in the way. When we humble ourselves and admit our sinfulness to God, then that makes us teachable. But if we think we're right, then God can't teach us. If we know it all, we don't have any room to learn. But David writes, "All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and God's decrees." We practice righteousness as God instructs us, and we're able to continue on the paths through righteousness that we receive in Christ. Now, doing a searching and fearless inventory is not meant to be all gloom and doom, just as learning from our trials and temptations is not meant to be all gloom and doom, because we're not just focusing on our failures and shortcomings. We don't just learn from the bad stuff that happens in our lives, but we learn from the good things that happen in our lives as well. We learn from our victories over temptations and trials. Jesus didn't have to fail to learn to be human. Jesus didn't have to fail to learn to depend on God. So we remember and learn from the times in which God has delivered us. We remember the blessings that we have in Jesus, and we learn from the times when we help others in their times of trial and temptation. And we remember that our identity is in Jesus. This Lenten period of examination isn't just about going way back to our past, but what is God doing right now in my life? In CR, step 10, it says we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Sometimes doing a daily evaluation reminds us of something that we missed. But it's always good to keep our account short with God and with others. So reviewing our days allows us to be continually taught by God. What happened today? Where did I see God at work? Where did I mess up? Who was a blessing to me? How was I a blessing to someone else? This is a steadfast path of love that Dave wrote about in Psalm 25:10. Frequent examination reminds us of the blessings that we might otherwise miss, those things that God does that we tend to take for granted because we don't take time to reflect. It reminds us that God is alive and God is active. And it reminds us that we are part of the kingdom of God now. Again, J. Clinton McCann Jr. says, ethical behavior, every human choice and activity is to be grounded in trust in God and in the reality of God's reign. After his temptation experience, Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God has come near. And because the kingdom of God is near to us, we can endure the trials and temptations that come our way. We can live the kingdom now just as Jesus did and instructed us to do, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Like Jesus, we allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and we attain victory. So when those temptations come, let us seek to learn from them and allow ourselves to be taught, even as we resist those temptations. And know that when we succumb to the temptations, that we can still learn from them the lessons that God desires to teach us. We can be assured of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And we don't have to let those sins of the youth, those sins of the past, have a hold on us. I've included for you today a sample inventory you may or may not want to use during this Lenten season. There is a ton of examples of things like this online. If you go online, there's also examination of conscience that you can use. That's more of a daily thing to do. This takes a little bit longer. But notice that on the right side of the page are the good things. We don't just focus on all the junk in our lives, but we want to celebrate the people that have blessed us in the ways that we've been a blessing. And then across the bottom it says, what patterns do I see? Because there's patterns in both the good things and in the not so good things that happen to us. And we can learn from those patterns as we put it together. I don't know if you've already decided or already have started practicing what you want to do in these 40 days. I've got several different things that I myself am doing. This is part of one of those things. And I've got some other things that I'm doing. I had been praying about it a couple of weeks ago before Lent started. Lord, I'm feeling the call to do something that's going to make a difference. Not just do something trivial, but something that's really going to be meaningful and to help me grow closer to you. So, and this was one of them. So I'm sharing it with you. You may want to use it, you may want not. But take heart in knowing that whatever you go through, God is there. He wants to teach you something. Know that Jesus identifies you in your sufferings and your trials and your temptations. And Jesus overcame them. And if we are in him, we can too. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you became truly human in the person of Jesus Christ. That you were tempted in the same ways that we were, and yet you attained victory. Lord, we don't have to fail in order to learn. We can have the victory in Jesus too. We ask that we would have victory. And we ask in all the things that come our way that we would learn the lessons that you would teach us. What is it that you want us to see? Help us to take time to pause and reflect on our days, to think of where you were in them, where your presence was, so we never take your blessings for granted. And Lord, when we do that, we also can see that we have been used to be a blessing to others. Lord, may these 40 days draw us closer to you. May we walk with you, and may we, like Jesus, gain victory over the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.